Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back, to our Pirkei Avos class learning. So just a calendar announcement. There is no shiur next week. No Pirkei Avos shiur next week. I will be away for a few days. So that means our next shiur after tonight, Be'ezer Hashem, will be on Thursday, February the 3rd. We should all be well. Okay? I'll post a reminder on the WhatsApp chat next week that there is no shiur, but I'm just giving you a heads up as well. And I look forward to resuming February 3rd, Be'ezer Hashem. So tonight I'm going to begin with our sponsors. Okay, so we thank Susan Friedman very much. Susan has been learning with me for a very long time. Susan was one of the first people, one of the first women to join my Parsha class a long time ago, when all I had was once a week of Parsha class. I've been learning together for many years, and she is sponsoring the Zecher Nishmas, her uncle, upon the occasion of his 11th yahrzeit, Harav Chaim Zelig ben Meir Shmuel. No, Harav Chaim Zelig Meir ben Shmuel. He was a Rosh Hashiva of the Romima Institute, a kollel in Romima. And Susan is very indebted to her uncle. He had a great influence on her spiritual development in Yiddishkeit. He was a great man, a father of 14, and a wonderful husband to his wife, Shandy. Both of his parents were nifter when he was a young boy. He learned at Chaim Berlin and later on at Yeshivas Panovich. One thing I remember that Susan told me is Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, Zatzal came to be Menachem Avol the Avelim when her uncle, her Rav Chaim Zelig Meir, and Shmuel Zatzal was nifter. Just to give you an idea of his stature, may his neshama have an aliyah in the schus of the Torah we will share this evening. Gail Hoffman is sponsoring as a Zchus Refuah Shleima for our grandson, said Gail, Shlomo ben Sara Dina. Also Refuah Shleima for Elchanan Pesach ben Sara. And finally, for the Yurtzeit of her father-in-law, Yaakov Shimon ben Elchanan Pesach, Yurtzeit Chof Tes Teves. Zechonishmas, her mother, Sara Bat ben Sion, Yurtzeit is Chof Gimel Shvat. And also her mother-in-law, Sara Bachizkiyahu HaKohen, whose yurtzeit will be Chof Dalet Shvat. So we hope that the Cholim will have Refos, the Neshamos will have Alios. If you noted, Gail Hoffman is sponsoring for her grandson Shlomo ben Saradina's Refua, a young child. The third sponsor is Shoshana Adler. She is sponsoring in memory of her father's 10th yurtzeit, which was Yod Zayin Shvat, and also for a Refua Shlema for Shlomo ben Saradina. B'soch Sha'ar Cholei Yisrael. You ladies should just know that I daven for him every week by licht benching. His name is on my list inside the card that I use for licht benching. So Be'ezer Hashem, we should hear Besoros Tovos Bekarov. So let's get started with our learning. We are not going back to Rabbi Tarfon yet. And I really thought we were going to, and I wanted to. But then it's the Parsha of Matan Torah. And there's such a beautiful Mishnah that tells us about what true Cheirus is. So I think that it is appropriate, since it's Parshas Yisro, and Nesquiz is Mishpatim. Yisro and Mishpatim together make up the Parshas of Matan Torah. Since we will not be having Shir next week, this is really encompassing of Yisro and Mishpatim, which are the two Parshas of Matan Torah. So Parshas Yisro has the introduction to Matan Torah and Perek Yates, and the actual Aseres Adibros and Perek Chaf, Mishpatim, Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis, and Chaf Gimel, are full of 53 mitzvos, 53, mostly ben Adam and Chaveiro, and then Chof Dalet resumes the narrative at Sinai, and the famous Kol Asher Dibra Hashem Nasa V'Nishma, all that God has said we will do and we will listen, is not in this week's parasha. Actually, it's in next week's parasha. It's Shemos 24-7, Vayikach HaSefer Abris, Vayikra Ba'oznei Am. Moshe took the book of the covenant, he read it in the ears of the people, and their response was, everything that God has said we will do and we will listen is actually in next week's parasha. So I see my mom is joining us. Good evening, Ima. Thank you for coming. Ima, I don't know if you saw Shmuel sent you on the Zoom chat. He saw you before. He said, oh, I want to send Bobby a message. So I said, I don't know if Bobby knows how to get the messages on the Zoom chat, but if you check, you'll see. Okay, so let's go to our screen sharing, okay? Let's go to the Mishnah that I chose this evening. Could you see my screen? It says Pirkei Avot Perek Vav. Somebody tell me who I could see. Yes? Okay, thank you very much. So what I want to talk tonight about is not so much the mitzvos aspect of Torah, the asiyas ha-mitzvos aspect of Torah, but what is our relationship to Torah? And how do we see illustrated in the Psukim vis-a-vis the giving of the Torah what the Ribbono Shel Olam has in mind, really, when it comes to keeping the mitzvos and doing the mitzvos? So let us look at this Mishnah in the beginning of Perek Lav and Perkei Avos. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, "B'chol yom v'yom bas kol yotzeis mihar chorev." Each and every day, a heavenly voice proclaims or goes out from Har Chorev. Chorev is another name for Har Sinai. U'machrazes v'omer. It makes a proclamation. There's an announcement from this bas kol. And what does the bas kol say? Oy lehem lebrios me ol b'no shel Torah. Woe unto those creations for their contempt towards Torah. So call Misha Eino Osek B'Torah. Anyone who is not Osek, who is not involved in a life of Torah, Nikra Nazuf. He is called a Nazuf. He is a person who is a rebuked, is a despised person, is a person who is banished almost. Like the Pasuk says, Nezem Zahav Ba'af Chazir. It's like a golden ring. The ring might be beautiful, but it's in the snout of a pig, in the nose of a pig. How beautiful is a nose ring when it's in the nose of a pig? So somebody who is not involved in Torah is comparable to taking something beautiful and putting it somewhere disgusting. He's not involved in any of this beauty. He makes a Rachman al-Etzlan as if it's not beautiful. Isha Yafa Visaras Tam, a beautiful woman who is bereft of sense. Wait, I did not mean to do that. Sorry. Okay, Homer, and the Pasuk says, V'aluchos masa elokim hema, and the luchos, by the way, the beginning of this Mishnah that I just read, we've done that previously. We spoke about Nazuf, Nezem, Zahav, Ba'af is an acronym. We spoke about that previously. V'omer, and the Pasuk says in Shemos Lamed Beis, by the way, Shemos Lamed Beis is precious, Kisisa, V'aluchos maise elokim hema, the luchos are the work of God, V'hamichtav, michtav elokim hu, and the writing is the writing of God, Charus al haluchos, engraved on the luchos. So that's a Pasuk from Sefer Shemos Paraklam and Beis, like you see here on the screen, Pasuk Tazayin, that's in the aftermath of Kisisa, the Chet HaEgal, the sin of the calf, the golden calf. So the luchos are the work of God, and the writing is the writing of God, and it is engraved upon the luchos, charus. But the Mishnah says, Al tikra charus ala chirus. Don't read it engraved upon the luchos, read it rather freedom. Charus, is charut, is the same word, of course, if we change the nekudos, as chirus, which is freedom. She'en lecha ben chorin ala misha osek b'talmud Torah. There's no such thing as true freedom. True freedom is only someone, true freedom, I don't mean to do that on the screen. True freedom is only someone who is involved in a life of Torah study. And it's very interesting that if our freedom was only physical, then Sefer Shemos would have ended after Beshalach. Shemos ve'erbo Beshalach, because the acronym for Sefer Shemos is Sefer HaGeula, the Book of Redemption. And if redemption would have only been physical redemption, so after Beshalach, so the book would have been finished, and then we would have moved on to our next book. But the fact that Yisrael Mishpatim, the parashus of the giving of the Torah, are ensconced within the pages, if you will, of Sefer Shemos, a.k.a. Sefer HaGeula, it means that being spiritually free is an integral part of our redemption. A person could be physically free, Rachmana Litzlan, and very much spiritually enslaved. So the Mishnah tells you, do not read it that the michtav elokim hema charus al haluchos. Don't read that the writing of God is engraved upon the luchos. Rather, you should read that luchos bring you cherus, freedom. Because there is no such thing as a free person, ala misha osek b'talmud Torah. V'chol misha osek b'talmud Torah. And anyone who is involved in a life of Torah study, Torah learning, Torah living, hareza misaleh. It is exalted, like from the word aliyah. The more and more you are involved in a life of Torah learning, the more and more you will have this aliyah in your life. You'll constantly be striving to grow higher and closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what brings freedom. That's the charus. That's the cherus. Like the Pasuk says in Bamidbar, Parshas Chukos, Umimartana Nachliya, Uminachliya Bambos. So it's like a play on words. From the Matana of Torah, you will have the inheritance, and from the inheritance, you'll move to Abama, to a high place. So we see that true freedom is not anything physical, but true freedom is something spiritual, and that spiritual freedom only comes through with Torah. So I want to begin by quoting the Psukim from Perek Yud Tes in Parshas Yisrael. You know, Hashem could have just given us the Torah. Here's the Torah. Anoch Hashem el kecha, shesizicha meretz v'tzrayim beis avadim. Number one. Lo yiyah lecha Elohim achirim al panai. Number two. Lo tis Hashem Hashem el kecha l'shav. Number three. Zachar Hashem Shabbos Lekadsho. I know there's added words after each of these introductory statements. Kabei Savicha Vesimecha. So it could have just been dry methodology. Here's the Dibra, do it. That's not how the Torah was given. there was a whole aura, a whole excitement, a whole environment into which the Torah was given. And the Pesukim tell us, and beginning to quote from Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Yud. Perek Yud Tes, and say, Parshas Yisroel, is the introduction to Matan Torah. You don't just come to Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Parshas Yisroel begins in Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Aleph. There's a lot of reasons why we begin the whole Parsha Matan Torah with Yisroel. And then after Perek Yud Ches, you have Perek Yud Tes, which is the whole introduction. And only when you come to Perek Chav, chapter 20, now Hashem says, now you're ready to hear the Torah. So what was the environment like at the time of the giving of the Torah? So the Chumash tells us, chapter 19, verse 10, Vayom Hashem Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, Leich el ha'am, go to the people, v'kidashtem hayom u'machar. They should sanctify themselves today and tomorrow. Targum Unkus, you know what, it's going to be easier if I screen share this with you, okay? That way you could see what I'm reading. It's just going to be easier if I screen share with you. It'll just take me a second. So let's go to Perek Yud Tes, where I am right here. Okay, here we are. Wait, could you see Perek Yud Tes Pasuk Yud? Yeah, okay. So go to the people, v'kidashtem hayamu machar v'salvecha kazol esar. And what's v'kidashtem? Targum Unka says repeatedly here, every time it says v'kidashtem, usizamininun, prepare yourself, lahazmin, hazminatzcham, to ready yourself for Matan Torah, and wash your clothing, and you should be ready for the third day, meaning the Shlosha Simei Hagbala, because on the third day, Hashem will descend before the eyes of the people atop Har Sinai. And you should put a gvul, you should put a border around the people all around, saying, be very careful. No one's allowed to go up to the mountain. No one's even allowed to touch the mountain. Anyone who touches the mountain shall surely die. No one can touch it. He will be stoned. So even an animal. Only when the shofar blast indicates that God is ascending, then you could touch the mountain. So Moshe goes down from the mountain, Vayikadesh Esa'am, and he tells the people, get ready. And he says, be ready for the third day. Do not touch a woman. And Vayihi B'yam HaShlishi. So this is Shlosha Simei Hagbala. Doesn't mean the third day of Sivan. It means the sixth day of Sivan, their third day after their preparation. And was on the third day, B'hiyos HaBoker, when it was in the morning. Vayihi Kolos Uvrakim V'anan Kaveir Al Hahar. The Kol Shofar Chazak Me'od, Vayacharad Kola Amasher B'machana. Matan Torah was not a dry experience. It wasn't, I am the Lord, your God, who took you out of Egypt. You shall not have gods above this before me. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. That's not what it was. Do not kill. Do not do adultery. Do not steal. Do not be a false witness. Do not covet. That's not what it was. It came to pass on the third day when it was morning. There was thunder. There was lightning. There was a thick cloud upon the mountain. The shofar was blasting very much, and the people in the camp all trembled. So it was an awe-inspiring light and sound show. It wasn't just the introduction of the Ten Commandments. And Moshe brings the people to meet God, and they stand under the mountain. V'har Sinai Ashan Kulo. The mountain of Sinai was smoking in its entirety because God's presence has descended upon it in fire. There's thunder, there's lightning, there's smoke, there's fire, there's a shofar blast, and its smoke is going up like the smoke of a lime pit, and the whole mountain is shaking itself. The mountain itself is shaking. There's so much emotion, there's so much action as the introduction and the backdrop to Matan Torah. And the sound of the shofar is going, and I say it all the time, we're too used to learning the narratives of Torah, but try and picture this in your mind. It's not that a voice came out and said the 10 declarations. The mountain itself, we just saw, was shaking. God's presence descended. There's fire, there's smoke, there's thunder, there's lightning. The people are shaking. And Hashem descended onto Mount Sinai to the head of the mountain, and God called Moshe, and Moshe ascended. So you see that there was a feeling of a fervor, an emotion, a living experience when it comes to the giving of the Torah. Furthermore, on this one I already had prepared on the screen for you, when it comes to Sefer Devarim, so the Torah is given, so to speak, in Yisro, not so to speak, the Torah is given in Yisro, but in Sefer Devarim, which is Mishnah Torah, and Parshas V'aschanan, when they have a review of the Torah, so to speak, so once again, the experience at Sinai is recalled for us in the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. So what does the Pasuk say? Now we're in Devarim Perek Dal. This is one of the Sheish Zechiros. It might be familiar to you if you say the Sheish Zechiros after your davening in Shachris, at the end of Shachris in your siddur. You should see the Sheish Zechiros, the six constant remembrances, and then the 13 anima means right at the end of Shachris. And one of the Sheish Zechiros, how is it labeled in the siddur? This is an art school, so I wonder if they label it. Zechiros Sinai, Zechiros Matan Torah. Zechiras Ma'amad Har Sinai. Okay? So this isn't an art school. It's Zechiras Ma'amad Har Sinai. So it doesn't say Zechiras HaMitzvos. It doesn't say Zechiras HaTorah. Remember the experience of standing at Har Sinai. Rak Yishamar Lecha. This is now in Devarim. Parak Dalet Pasuk Tes. Be very careful. Ushmar Nafshecha Me'od. Guard your soul very much. Pen tishkach as hadvarim asher ra'u einecha, lest you forget the things your eyes saw. Upen yasur milvavcha, lest you remove them from your heart. Koyimei chayecha, all the days of your life. Ahodatim uvanecha uvanei venecha. This is one of the Sheish Zechiros. But what's it classified as? It doesn't say you have to remember the mitzvos. Doesn't have to say you have to remember, you know, the Chumash with Rashi. You have to remember the experience of standing at Har Sinai. Zechiras Ma'am at Har Sinai. You have to be so careful to remember that. You have to guard your soul very much. Do not forget what your eyes saw. Do not remove from your heart all the days of your life. And let it be known to your children and your children's children. What do you have to let it be known? Yom Asher Amadata Lefnei Hashem Elokecha B'Choriv. The day that you stand before Hashem, you stood before Hashem your God in Choriv, when Hashem said to me, gather the nation and they will hear my words, so they should learn to fear God all the days that they are living. And you all came close. Once again, we are reminded that the mountain is entirely smoking with fire. Try and imagine the scene. It's hard to imagine. You're standing in the middle of the Midbar, and there's this small little mountain. It's the smallest of all the mountains. And you prepare for this unbelievable event. You're not even sure what you're preparing of. You were just slaves 7 weeks ago. And then all of a sudden, on the third day in the early morning, the presence of God descends. And now there's flames of fire, and there's smoke to the heart of heaven. And the mountain is shaking, and there's a shofar that's not stopping. And it's like the Baal Tokeya can't figure out how to blow the kolos. It's so strong, and you're shaking, and the mountain's shaking. And the mountain is smoking with fire to the heart of heaven. Choshech, it's dark. Anon, a cloud, a ruffle, a thick fog. And Hashem spoke to you from the middle of the fire. Called Varim Atem Shomim. You heard the voice. Utmuna Einchem, but you don't see God. You hear the voice. And he told you the covenant that he commanded you, these 10 things, and they were written on the two luchos. And he commanded me at that time, Moshe, to teach you the chukim and mishpatim, so you should do them in the land where you are going. And this is one of the Sheish Zechiros. Not to remember that there's a Torah, not to know off by heart the 10 commandments, to remember the experience of standing at Har Sinai. It's after Aleinu, it's the Sheish Zechiros. And the Pasuk Mamish quotes what we just looked at. Rak Yishamar Lechosh, Mar Navshecha Me'od, Pen Tishchach, Hesed Dvarim Asher Ra'u Einecha, Upen Yasur, V'milvavcha, I'm quoting from my Siddur. Kol Yemei Chayecha, V'hodatum L'vanecha, V'nei V'necha. What do you have to let your children know? What it was like when you stood at Har Sinai. The day you stood at before God in Choriv. The Medrash tells us, Medrash Shemos Rabbah, what was happening in the whole world? It's hard to recreate this scene. It's hard to create this imagery in our minds. You know, I was wondering, like, where exactly were these flowers on Har Sinai? You know, we decorate the Bate Knisyot and the Yeshivos and the Beis Medrash and our homes with flowers and greenery. I don't know where exactly the flowers and greenery were on Har Sinai. The mountain is shaking, there's smoke and fire to the head of Lev HaShamayim, and God's upon the mountain, and there's a blast of shofar that's not weakening and it's not stopping, and then the voice of God emanates from all of this. Medrash Shmos Rabba, Parshas Yisro, Parsha Chavtas. Amar Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Abahu says, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, and the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Kishan Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Esa Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah. Tzipor Lo Tzavach. Not one bird chirped. Of Lo Parach. A bird did not fly. Shor lo ga'ah, the ox did not low, the cow didn't moo, the dog didn't bark, the wolves didn't howl. Ofanim lo afu, srafim lo amru kadosh kadosh. Even the heavenly angels, the ofanim and the srafim, cannot do their jobs. They weren't singing shavach to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hayam lo nizda azah. There were no white caps. There was no waves. The sea did not move. Habrios lo diberu. Nobody spoke. Ela ha'olam shosek. The world was quiet. U'macharish. The world was like deafened. V'yatza ha'kal anochi Hashem Elokecha. And into this scene came the divine voice to the whole world. I am the Lord God. I'm going to say again the Midrash without translation now that I translated the whole thing to try and move ourselves somehow into what the experience of Har Sinai was. And that's really my shiur tonight. Not the mitzvos. Sometimes we're too well-versed in the mitzvos. We're not well-versed enough in excitement and passion for the mitzvos. They become mitzvos anashim melumda. And we don't have the feeling. We don't have the fire, pun intended. We don't have the passion for what we're doing. What is the zechira? It's not to remember Anochi, lo yia, lo tisa, kabed, not in that order, zachar, shamar, kabed. It's to remember how it felt when you were standing there. It's to be excited about Torah. V'hodatam uvanecha ulevanei vanecha yom asher amadot lefnei Hashem elokecha b'choriv. You don't only have to pass on to your children to do the mitzvos. If you want them to love doing the mitzvos, you have to be excited by what you're doing. You have to be passionate about Avodas Hashem. You have to feel on fire. Because if you're not on fire, they're not going to be on fire. Says the Midrash Shmos Rabba, Yisro, Parsha Choftes, and Midrash Shmos Rabba. I'm a Rabbi Abau, I'm not translating it again. Not because I don't want to. I did already for those who need it. I just want you to hear the lashon of the Midrash. Amar Rabbi Abal b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, kishenasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu es HaTorah, tzipar lo tzavach, of lo parach, shor lo ga'ah, ofanim lo afu, srafim lo amru kadosh kadosh, hayam lo nizda'azah, habrios lo diberu, ela ha'olam shoseik u'machrish, v'yatza ha'kol, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I once heard Rabbi Shai Schechter, goes back a few years ago, one of the shiurim he gave. It was talking about Birkas HaBadim, I think. I only remember one line from the shiur. I don't remember what the whole rest of the shiur was about, to be honest. But this really mamish stuck in my head. He was talking about Birkas HaBadim on Friday night. And he said sometimes you see parents giving a child the bracha on Friday night. And he says, you look at them and you wonder, I don't know what they're thinking about. They don't seem to be thinking about anything. And they certainly don't seem to be thinking about the Birkas HaBanim that they're saying. Apply this to so many things in our lives. It's talking to all of us. We become so accustomed to what we're doing that we lose the passion and the excitement for what we're doing. We so become so accustomed to davening that we forget we're standing before the Ribbono Shel Olam. We become so accustomed to baking challah, that we forget when we're mafresh, it's one of the special woman mitzvos that we were granted, even though, yes, Parsha Shlach, a man bakes, you also have to be mafresh. We become so accustomed to what we're doing that sometimes we forget to be excited. I now go to a beautiful piece by Rav Soloveitchik, The Study of Torah. I'm quoting from the Sefer this morning, I quote a totally different piece of the Rav. The Rav, The World of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik by Rabbi Aaron Rakef at Rothkopf, Volume 2, for your reference. Sometimes people reach out to me, they hear this year online, they say, where are you quoting from? So I just gave you my source. This was related by the Rav in his address on Geirut, conversion, to the Yeshiva University Rabbinic Alumni at YU, June 19th, 1975. Almost exactly 1 year before I was born. Almost exactly. My credo, someone's not muted. How did that happen? Let me check everyone else. It was just one person, how strange. My credo or credo? Credo? Yeah. My credo regarding the Torah and the way Torah should be taught is based upon the Torah itself. And by the way, you're going to see, the Rav is going to quote in this piece, both from Parshas Yisro and from Parshas Veschanan. My credo regarding the Torah and the way Torah should be taught is based upon the Torah itself. I've been a Rosh Hashiva, or a teacher of Talmud, says the Rav, all my life, or at least major part of my adult life. I have taught, quote, many, many people. And when I teach, time comes to a stop for me. I do not look at the timepiece, the clock, or at my wristwatch. I just teach. The reason I'm smiling is because I have the alpha of Dallas. Mama shall have the alpha of Dallas. That's how I feel when I teach. The only reason I look at the clock is because I know I'm in a time constraint. But for me, when I'm teaching, I don't know where the time goes. And if I'm tired when I start, this is Michal Horowitz saying, no matter how I feel when I start, mamish. And I begin, it's a totally different elevated experience. It moves you to a different place. And you say, how did this much time pass? How are we here? You should be excited by Torah. You don't only have to know the mitzvahs to give them over. You have to tell your children about the fire, the smoke, the shofar, the experience, the emotion. I do not know how to explain it, says the Rav. But teaching has a tremendous and very strange impact on me. When I teach Torah, I feel the breath of eternity on my face. Even now in my old age, teaching Torah and giving shiurim relieves me of the fear of death and the all gloomy and depressing moments which elderly people go through. When I teach Torah, I feel rejuvenated, as if I were 25 or 30 years old. Quote, if not for the study and teaching of Torah, I would have lost my sanity in the year of my triple mourning in 1967, when I lost my mother, brother, and wife. I was on the verge of a mental collapse and breakdown, but I did not break down. I emerged victorious. The victory over despair was due to only one thing: my overwhelming dedication to Torah and teaching Torah. V'hamichtav michtav Elokim hu, charus al haluchos, al tikri charus al achirus, she'enecha ben choron el amisha osek b'talmud Torah. The victory over despair, when I almost lost my sanity in the year of my triple mourning, was my overwhelming dedication to Torah and teaching Torah. I am not trying to brag or boast. I am telling the truth. I was sick that year and the following year. And yet I felt somehow, because of teaching Torah, I was not alone. I had somebody. He was invisible, but I felt his presence. I could confide in him. There was someone on whose shoulder I could cry. I could demand words of solace and comfort. There's so much chiyus that comes from a life when you immerse yourself in a life of Torah, whatever your level, whatever our level. Obviously, the Rav is light years away from any life of Torah that I live. However, every person on their own level must somehow experience the rejuvenation and the fire and the passion of Torah. We must fight mightily against social Judaism, where everything is done by rote, because what will the neighbor say? But we're really not acting for God, and we're just not excited by it anymore. And the Torah demands that you remember not only the mitzvos, but you should be on fire. People do not know. And again, please take it in the proper spirit. I am not bragging, but they don't know how busy I am and what my schedule is. They know I teach shiurim here in New York. All right, fine. I say 3 times a week a shiur in yeshiva. And you know, these shiurim should be 1.5 hours each. It never happens that I get to the shiur in 1.5 hours. 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours. Sometimes the shiur is even more than 3 hours. It's very strange. The boys in my class are very young, 1/4 or 1/3 of my age. That they come out exhausted, and I come out refreshed after shiur. And then I return to Boston every Friday morning from 8:30 for 3.5 hours to 11:30. I study with my son-in-law, Rabbi Isidore Tursky. Shabbos, believe me, I cannot afford to take a nap on Shabbos afternoon. I have not taken a nap on Shabbos afternoon for the last 20 years because I study with Moshe. Author's parentheses are Tversky, his grandson. Ramosha Tversky grew up to be a Gaon Olam in his own right, and he was brutally murdered in the Harnof massacre. Shem Yukom Damo. On Shabbos, I've not taken a nap for 20 years because I study for 3 hours at least with Moshe, and then I study with Meir 2.5 hours. Or Meir Tversky Shita, Sheibado Lachaim Tovim Veruchim, Moshe Tversky's brother, was one of the YU Rosh Yeshivas. The same with Sunday and the same with Monday. I have no time to sit down and relax. And yet, all of this immersion in Torah, the cathartic impact on me of studying Torah, is rooted in the wondrous experience I have when I open the Gemara. Is attending Shira a wondrous experience for you? Is doing the mitzvah a wondrous experience for you? You're doing it because you have to. And they do it. And they do it. And everyone else does it. So I'm going to do it too. Is there wonder and awe? Is there rejuvenation and catharsis? Are we living lives by rote? Or are we fueled by a passion and fire for Yahadus? Everyone ask yourself that question. Somehow, when I open up the Gemara, either alone or when I teach others, I have the impression, do not call it a hallucination, says the Rav, as if I hear the soft footsteps of somebody invisible. He comes, he sits down with me. He looks over my shoulder. It is a simple idea, it's not mystical. The presence of God occupies himself with those who occupy themselves with Torah. And then the Rav quotes from this week's parsha. It's from Perak Chof. It's the end of Parsha Sisra. Wherever my name is mentioned, I will come and I will bless you. We all believe that the one who gave us the Torah has never deserted the Torah. He accompanies the Torah wherever the Torah has a rendezvous. When you have an appointment or a date with Torah, God is there. The giver of Torah is there, exclamation mark. And if the giver of Torah is there, that means that the fire is there when the Shekhinah is there. It means the Choshech, Anon, Va'arafel is there. It means Adlev HaShemayim, Bo'er Ba'esh is there. It means everyone is silent as God reenacts revelation and gives you the Torah. And you're thinking of texting, who could I text while I'm saying Asher Yatzar? What are you doing? Have you ever been scrolling through your phone while you're saying Asher Yatzar? Who am I talking to? Am I excited by Torah? Is there passion? Is my heart bo'er ba'esh adlev ha-shamayim? Remember the day you stood before Hashem b'choriv. Says the Rav, the study of Torah is basically for me an ecstatic experience in which one meets God. Do you meet God? Every day you have an opportunity to meet God. The Ragachavar Gaon, it's famous, it's brought down in so many places. The Ragachavar Gaon said, when a person davens, he's talking to Hashem. When a person learns Torah, Hashem is talking to him. When you daven, you're talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You sit down and learn Torah, the Ribbono Shel Olam is talking to you. And again, says the Rav, what I want to say, what I've just told you, it's not mysticism. It's not due to my mystical inclination. This isn't Kabbalah. This isn't New Age. This isn't far out. The Talmud expresses this very idea. Our sages equate the study of Torah with revelation. When you sit down to learn Torah, it's like a revelation at Sinai. Quote, what's the revelation, says the God? It's the great event. What's the revelation, says the Rav? The great event and drama of God's revelation on Har Sinai. Hashem could have just said, get the people, stand around the mountain, and then go through the Aseres HaDibros. Finished. We would still have had the Aseres HaDibros. What do you need all the drama for? Why do you need all the sound and lights for? What do you need all the fire for? What do you need to be so dramatic? Just give me the 10 commandments. Just tell me what I have to do. Now I know what I have to do. Because if it was just given like that, that's how we would fulfill. I would just do, check off. The sages teach us that the study of Torah is equated with revelation. And what is revelation? The great event and drama of God's revelation on Har Sinai. The event is reenacted, restaged, and relived every time a Jew opens up the Gemara. And now, the Rav quotes the Pesukim from Devarim that we just saw. I'm making known to your children and your children's children. What do you have to make known? Yom asher amadata lefnei Hashem elokecha b'chorif. We just saw these in Vashchan, on Perek Dalet of Devarim. And says the Gemara, Maseches Brachos Chaf Beis, as quoted by the Rav, just as there was dread and fear and trembling and quaking in the study of Torah, there must be dread and fear and trembling and quaking. You shall feel a passion, a fire, a reverence for God. What, says the Rav, must you make known to your children and your children's children? I do not have time to sleep, says the Rav. I come back, all right, three times a week in yeshiva I give shir. It's never an hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours. And then Friday morning I learn with my son-in-law for 3.5 hours. And then Shabbos afternoon, I do not have time to nap. Shabbos afternoon, first I learn with Moshe, 2.5 hours at least. And then I learn with Meir. V'odatum livanecha. I learn with my son-in-law, ulivanevanecha, and your grandchildren. What must you make known to your children and your children's children? Quote, you must tell them about what took place at Choriv. The Torah does not say, says the Rav, that you should only make the halachos known to them. What can you put on the warming tray on Shabbos? What can you put on the warming tray? How do you cut the salad? How don't you cut the salad? Not only the halachos, more than that, exclamation mark. The Torah requires that you tell your children and your children's children about a rendezvous with God. They should experience exactly what you experienced, what you stood before God at Choriv. There was a pacha, there was a yira, a yacharad, kol amasher b'machana, you were trembling. If a Jew cannot experience revelation when he's busy studying Torah, and he's not experiencing the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he's not experiencing Choriv, the study of Torah, says the Rav, is an ecstatic, metaphysical performance, beyond physical. It's not just that you sit down and you open. Now, I understand he's speaking to men. And we have a mitzvah to study in and of itself. We are mechayev, or I should say mechuyavos, to study in order to do. If you don't know what to do, you don't study what's pertinent to you, you can't know what to do. If you don't know the halachos of the kitchen, so you can't keep kosher. You could be as good as you want. If you don't know the halachos, you can't keep kosher. Women are mechuyavos to study in order to know what to do. Men are mechuyav to study in order to study, and to study in order to know what to do. Of course, if you're not sure what to do, then you better ask a shayla. But how do you feel when you're learning? How do you feel when you're doing the mitzvos? It is not simply, says the Rav, to make the halachos known to your children. More than that, tell them about a rendezvous with God. There's so much artificial sound and lights in the world in which we live today. There's a lot of competition that we are competing with. Rachmana Litzlan. Sometimes you just have to be quiet to hear the voice of God. Tzipor lo tzavach, of lo parach, shor lo ga'ah, ofanim lo afu, srafim lo amru kadosh kadosh, hayam lo nizda azah, habrios lo diberu, ha'olam shoseku machrish. That means we need to tune out all of that extra societal noise in order to really hear the thin, still voice of God. But we must be filled with a passion. Because whether you're a parent or a teacher or a grandparent or a great-grandparent, I know there's at least one more over here of young children. If you're not excited, they're not going to be excited. They're going to think it's boring and old and dry. And if you don't have the fire, bo'er ba'esh adlev hashamayim, then they're certainly not going to have the fire. Says the Rav, the study of Torah is an ecstatic, metaphysical, beyond the physical, non-physical performance. And it is an act of surrender to the Almighty. And that's what we have to tell our children. The study of Torah is more, says the Rav, than an intellectual performance. One second, I'm sorry. I think it's my nieces who are trying to FaceTime me. I'm declining. It comes up on my MacBook. Don't worry. I'm not trying to be involved in a call. The study is more simply. It's more simply. The study of Torah is more than simply an intellectual performance. It is a total, all-encompassing, all-embracing involvement of the mind, heart, will, and feeling. It embraces the very center of the human personality. That's how you should feel about Yahadus. That's how you should feel about mitzvos. That's how you should feel about attending shir. That's how you should feel about the Ribono Shel Olam. The study of Torah and Asiyas HaMitzvos is more than simply an intellectual performance. I'm repeating it. Listen to this. It is a total, all-encompassing, and all-embracing involvement of the mind and heart, of will and feeling. It is the very center, it touches, it should touch, the very center of the human personality. And that's what the Pesukim tell us in this week's parasha. Just start with Perichav, Pasuk Aleph. These are the words that God spoke to Moshe. Elokim yedaberva, Moshe yedaberva, Elokim yanenu b'kol. Just start there, give me the Torah. No, says the Torah, I can't just give you the Torah. You know what else you have to know? Hazminu atzmechem, prepare yourselves for Torah. Put a gevul around the mountain. Sanctify yourselves and be ready for the third day. Vayihi b'yom hashlishi, b'hios haboker, vayikolos, thunder, uvrakim, lightning, v'anan kaved, alahar, a thick mountain, v'kol shofar chazak me'od. Do you hear the voice of God in your life? Do you hear the sound of the shofar? And the people in the camp trembled very much, and Har Sinai was smoking in its entirety, because God descended upon it in fire, and its smoke was smoking like the smoke of a lion pit. And the mountain itself was shaking. And the kol shofar was going very strong, very much. Moshe yedaber. Now we're ready to learn the halachos. Now we're ready for the mitzvos. Always remember, Yom asher amadta lefnei Hashem elokecha b'chorei, because if you don't live like that, there is simply no way to transmit it to your children or your children's children. Yom asher amadta lefnei Hashem elokecha b'choriv, v'odatam levanecha v'nei vanecha. I thank all this evening's sponsors. Susan Friedman, Zecher Nishmas, her uncle, who was a Rosh Hashiva. Rav Chaim Zelig Meir Ben Shmuel, Rosh Hashiva of Romema Institute, who Rav Nassim Zvi came to be Mevakar Cholim Avelim. Gail Hoffman and Shoshana Adler are both sponsoring as a Zchus Refua for Shlomo Ben Saradina. Also as a Zchus for Elchanan Pesach Ben Sara, Refua Shlema. And finally, Lilui Nishmas, Yaakov Shimon Ben Elchanan Pesach, Sarah Bat Ben Sion, Sarah Bat Chizkio HaKohen, and Shoshana Adler for her father's 10th years. Shoshana Adler, I just realized you did not give me your father's name. You told me what to say, but you wrote what I want you to say. Shoshana Adler is sponsoring a memory of her father's 10th year site, which was Yod Zayin Shvat. So the Ribono Shel Olam knows, unless you want to post it so I could say it. Okay. As a refuah shleima for Shlomo Ben Saradina, there is no shir next week, but Azor Hashem, we resume on February the 3rd. I thank this evening's sponsors, everyone who participated. One more thing. I have a sponsors, Baruch Hashem, for February the 3rd, but after that, we do not have any. So if you've never taken a turn and you benefit and you enjoy the shir, or if you have a simcha or a zechir and Hashem coming up, and you would like to take a turn, Shoshana Adler, there is a typo in there. Could you retype that, please? It can't be what you wrote. If you would like to take a turn to sponsor, we do Baruch Hashem have two sponsors for February the 3rd, but nothing after that. So may the neshama of Shlomo ben Pesach David, Shoshana Adler's father, merit an aliyah, the zchus of this Torah. I wish everybody a passionate, uplifting and wonderful Shabbos Kodesh. Thank you so much. Kol Tov to all. Thank you. Good Shabbos.